Okay, let's settle down. Let's settle down. Oh, you're already seated, except for that guy. Mike is making the rounds, I guess. So he's just going to stand over there and visit for a little while. We're going to try to ignore him as best as we can. Welcome. Good morning. Good to have you here on this Memorial Weekend. All the Byers clan are in Seattle with a family gathering there, and so they send their greetings and are their prayers as well. It's good to have Zach back. Zach back. Watch out for that. Zach back. Do you mind, Zach? You don't care. Okay. Is this your third time? Yeah, I thought so too. Okay. That's dangerous. Okay. We're glad to have you today, Zach. And Laura Isaacson from Clark Fork is with us this morning, sitting next to Alma. I don't know. I think Frida brought her, actually. Didn't you, Frida?
Yeah, I had to ride with you.
Ooh, the three of you. Wow. Okay. All right. Yes, and Zach, another Zach. We got Zach, the Zach attack today. The Zach attack is back. Okay, I'll get that out of my system. Who has a colored bulletin insert this morning? Whoa, look at there, sweaty in the back. Yeah, right. Okay, and Cheryl. Well, one of you we love and appreciate. I'm going to let you know, guess which one. Right, Zach? Right, Sweaty? Okay, he knows. He gets love every day of the week. So, okay, well, let's see what we have for upcoming Wednesday night. We're in John chapter 6, verse 12. Continuing and prodding on, and please join us. Next Saturday, hopefully you don't have any prior commitments and you want to be here to sweat here at the church. It's supposed to be 90 degrees, I think. So we can't start until about a quarter after 10 once the AA is cleared. So we'll begin about that time. And so dress appropriately, please. And bring your they won't allow it to dress for you to dress appropriately. Oh, okay. I take it back. I'm having to retract a lot of things today. Okay, next Sunday, Pastor John. Okay, who did that? That must have been my name does not have an H in it. Get it straight. Thank you, Shaney. An acknowledgement to Shaney, who is starting to do this stuff. All right. Yay. Give her a hand. I'll tell you the difference between the spellings later. Can't do it in mixed company. Next Sunday, Pastor John. Pastor John. Whoops. What was that? What are you trying to get me to move on? I wasn't done there. David's divine descendants, plural. Get it? Plural. Okay. And then installation service for Pastor Hollis, 2 weeks from today at 2:00 in the afternoon, right here in this very sacred place. Looking forward to that. And the church council meeting on the 17th, we'll keep reminding you of that. And our monthly food and fellowship fair, we're saving until the 27th, being that Father's Day is on the 20th when we normally would have it. So we're bumping it to Pastor John's. And Kathy's last Sunday. Okay. Baby bottle boomerang. There's still a couple of bottles back there available. Thank you for those who have taken them. This goes to Life Choices Pregnancy Center. And you don't have to bring it back till Father's Day on the 20th. So write your name down and the number of the bottle you take. When you take it, please. And front of your bulletin. Says, receive the Holy Spirit from John 20:22. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, and with it, peace. Right, Hollis? Yes. Let's open our hearts to that as we begin this morning. Father, once again, we come into your house with gratitude and thanksgiving for the freedom to do so, for the desire to do so. It's in our hearts, so we're glad to be able to come. And thank you for those who are with us today. Pray your special blessing and anointing in this time. I'm mindful of those who are not with us, united together as we are in your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for making all of this possible through your Son, Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Stand and greet someone you haven't had a chance to. Tell them how glad you're here. Give them a hug and smooch and all that good stuff. All right. So, thank you, Sister Alma, for your ministry with our children. You already did it. You did it right there. So, my privilege and pleasure and honor again to introduce our preacher of the hour, Brother Hollis, and I've appreciated what the Lord has laid on his heart to share with us, and looking forward to this. He says he might get excited today, so just a forewarning, I told him, watch it. Okay, Brother Hollis, Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother John. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good morning, everyone. How are y'all doing? It's Memorial Day weekend, so I just want to remind people as they go this week to remember the ones that died for us to have an opportunity to live in this free country and worship as we see fit and not under tyranny and not under dictatorship. And not just the physical death, because we're going to be dealing with spiritual death actually today. And I know that is, I was the last, my father was a World War II veteran, and I was the last of his child, last born, out of the litter, we'd like to call him. I was the runt. And but I remember that my uncles and aunts and they would talk about this marvelous, magnificent man that I never knew. And I knew it was because he was a frontline medic and he dealt with, and he left something there that he never got back. So remember, we have veterans walking all around this country that is not physically dead, but a part of them is left in a battlefield without Christ they may never get back. So just remember as we go forward how blessed we are in this country still. Oh, I'm going to make some powerful statements today. But they're true. And I believe they are true. If you do not understand the holy peace of Jesus Christ, you are dead. You are walking dead. You don't know it. You think you're fine, but you're dead. Osborne is going to read the scriptures for us, and we're going to go down this road and see if I'm right or not.
Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being.
The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
Thank you. So just the basic few scriptures, but there's really a lot in there. And I'm going to put you on the spot, Tom, because I know you're a teacher, okay? What's the definition of a comma? Comma. A pause. A separation. Right? So if you notice in this, there's a lot of commas in here. Our little friend, the comma. They're small, but says a lot. Right there, so he created them in his image, comma. That there is no image of mankind outside of that. No image. If I look like anything except God, I have an image that is no image. Because I was not created to be in my image. I was created to be in his image. And here we look here in Genesis 2, 7. He took and he molded and he breathed life, comma, and then man became a living being. He immediately became a living being. There was no pause. There was no action on man's part to become a living being in the Spirit of God. He immediately gave it to him. And he lived. We forget, I forget sometimes, that man was one time in the Garden of Eden, shoulder to shoulder with God, in perfect harmony with him. And he acted and he behaved in God's presence just as a perfect image of God. And that did not change until Genesis 2, 15, 17. "And you will surely die." Now the death that God was talking about was not a physical death. We know that. Because Adam physically went on. Eve physically went on. You know, Sherry asked me, I don't know, maybe somewhere between 4 and 6 months ago. She asked me a good question, actually. I was walking here and she sat in about where she always sat there and she did her hand like that and said, "Pastor, I need to ask you a question." I said, "Oh, Lord, I hope I know the answer." Because, you know, y'all, anytime someone want to ask you a question and they call you pastor, you hope you know the answer, right? Because you're supposed to know the answer, all right? And she said, "Why is, if you look where Jesus came from, okay, and in the Jews and dark skin and dark eyes, why do we got so many pictures of Jesus with light hair and blue eyes and stuff like that, you know?" And my answer to her was, is if I was in an area where the only people that I ever seen looked like me, and I got information in writing that God and looked like me and man was created in my image, I would think God looked like me, or I looked like God. That image was like that. But once again, I don't believe that we're talking about a physical image here as much as we're talking about a spiritual image. You know, but you know, we got our self-will and we're egotistical. And boy, I really would like to think that Jesus looks just like me. You know, if we were standing there, you couldn't tell us apart. You know, that's my old self-will, right? Well, which one is it? You know, no, you can tell us apart. If you're around us for a few minutes, you'd be able to tell us apart. Yeah. We might look physically identical, but it wouldn't take but about 10 minutes of listening to us, and we know which one's which at that point. You'd be able to tell us apart. So you surely die. no longer if man was in perfect harmony with God. The process of death had started. And not a physical death, a spiritual death that leads to a physical death. Now we're going to get into how good our Lord is.
Don't get excited.
God could have left mankind right there. But he didn't. He did not. And he even tried to give us laws through other prophets, hoping that we would get it. But we did not. So he sent his son, the perfect image of God in man, to give you and me a second chance. He achieved what Adam could not achieve. He lived perfectly in this physical body, stayed spiritually pure to the Father from the day of the birth to his crucifixion on that cross. He proved that a man could be totally in harmony with our Lord and Savior. And all you had to do is follow the sample that he led. It's not hearsay anymore. You know, and me and Tom is both baseball coaches, and you can hear about a game, and he asked me to get some baseball in, so I'm going to. You can hear about a game, and you can watch a game, and it's two different things. So we're not operating in secondhand information anymore. We have accountable witness that Jesus Christ is who he said he is. But now God did not let me and you completely off the hook either. All right, and here's the good part. What did God do in the Gehenna? He breathed on Adam. Here, in the disciples, he breathed on them. And he said, comma. Uh-oh, we're separating. We're taking a pause. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Spirit of God back into that rotten soul you have. But that comma separates it from there. And it's not just a given in the beginning like it was with Adam. We have to accept. You can have what Adam gave away, but you're not going to get it as freely as he did. You're going to have to be willing to receive it and then nurture it and take care of it and love it and live in it and live it out to your fellow man. And if you don't, you surely will die. And that's the death that God was talking about. You will die out of spiritual contact and holiness with God if you don't receive it. And there is no life on this earth or out of this earth for a being called man without God. And that's the point that he's making. You're going to die. Now Satan's going to tell you you're okay. Look at my physical being. Look what I've accomplished on this earth. Look what I am doing. Look at me. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm living. I'm living. I'm living. I'm living.
Come on. Keep reading it.
Right? And then I physically die. And then my soul finds itself in a place where God can't be seen. And I spend eternity there. And you can call it hell, because that's what the Bible calls it. And you can paint it up any kind of way you want to. You can say there's fire and brimstones, and you can do it samples of spiritual torture any way you want to, or physical torture. But the real true torture is, I am in a place for eternity where I will never lay my eyes to feel the love of God again. Now that's hell. And I'm dead forever, but I'm alive in that pain. And that's the only thing that I'm alive in. And there is no other love for me. But man, once and for all, be totally separated from God for eternity. That scares me. You can beat me down out here in the middle of this floor and that won't scare me. But the thought of that there scares me. Because I personally know that I'm a sinner. And I personally know that I am not all that. And I personally know that I'm not worth 2 cents without Jesus Christ. And I don't care what kind of lipstick you put on me. It's not enough. Right? So I say to you, my brothers and sisters, today, when you walk in this sanctuary, this holy place, and God tries to breathe the Holy Spirit on you, and that pause comes, that comma, that little comma comes, that pause, take it in. Don't turn and walk away. Because as our Creator says, you surely will die. And that's not His direction for us. It's not our wish. But we was created in His image with free will. And He will not shove His love down our throat. It's a two-way street. It makes me cry that I know there will be brothers and sisters walking the face of the earth will have that moment that God tries to breathe the Holy Spirit into them and transform them out of just self-will but back seeking God's will. And when that comma comes, instead of them opening their arms and saying, yes, thank you, Father. I don't know that, and turn and walk away. And I don't know what to do with that kind of stuff, to be quite honest. That's probably above my pay grade. But I do know the Creator all has a plan. And I do know that He's undefeated. And I do know, with a record like that, no matter who it is, I have nothing to worry about. That's all I got today. Thank you for letting me share and the love of Jesus Christ in this room. God bless.
The love and peace of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Brother Hollis. You're right. The Lord laid something on you there. Thank you for being faithful to share it with us. And I want to echo what he has said. We need to open our hearts anew. Even if you've been at this all your life like I've been, there's still more of the Holy Spirit that we need and that peace for him to breathe on us and us to receive that. And as the Apostle Paul said, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let it. Let it. So we're going to let it this morning as we respond to a song that says, let the peace of Christ reign in your life. Let's stand together and open our hearts. Let the Lord do what he wants to do in this moment. As always, the altar is open if you desire to pray here.
Father of light, draw me closer. Lord, my heart is set on you. Let me run the race of time with your life unfolding mine, and let the peace of God let it rain.
Nation, reign around the world. Thank you, Lord. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. As we allow your peace to reign within us. Thank you, Lord, that you've made that miraculously available to us through your Holy Spirit. And you desire to breathe it anew upon us today. And so we say, let it be. Open our hearts wider to you to receive more of your Holy Spirit. Saturate us, fill us anew, let it overflow so that it can pour out on others. Help us to breathe your life onto others. Thank you for that privilege we have. It's an awesome thing. All of your creation is awesome, but nothing compared to what you offer us individually through your Holy Spirit. So we thank you, Father, again today. You alone are worthy of our praise. You alone are worthy of our surrender to you. And so we do. We bow down before you, and we receive what you have for us today with gratitude. Thank you, Lord. And yes, there are those who are out there, a brother, a sister, who knows what the relationship may be, who've turned their backs on you. And sometimes we wonder, Lord, are they beyond your reach? But they aren't. Nothing is beyond your reach. And so we just entrust them to you. Thank you that your Spirit is there with them. The same Spirit that is breathing on us in this moment is breathing on them. Lord, open their hearts to receive it. The Apostle Paul seemed to be on your reach, but you were able to reach in his heart. We pray the same for those that we love and care for who are away from you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that Sherry is able to be with us today and is doing some better. We pray your continued healing for her. Thank you that she's looking to you and trusting in you for what she needs. And Lord, we pray for all the buyers who are doing their thing with family and friends in Seattle. Pray your blessing for them in this time and for safe travel back when they come back. Thank you that Dee is able to be with us again today, and we just pray your continued healing, renewed health and strength for her. We thank you for Laura being with us today. We pray your blessing in the needs and concerns she has. Thank you for Alma and Frida helping her get there. And Lord, we just are mindful of the awesomeness of who you are and what you offer to us today. Help us to receive all that you desire to give us. Help us to be able to take it in as we open our hearts more and more to you. And we know, as we sang earlier, that you are listening. And as always, we're thankful that there are other expressions of praise and petition that your people offer up to you.